and welcome to the Entertainment Docket for the first full week of December, the week of December 5th, 2011. I am your co-host, Michael Staley, and alongside me is the lovely, talented, and snowbound Melissa Hansen.
Yes, I am. Hi, everybody.
Yeah, kind of crazy. So what have you been up to this week, entertainment-wise?
Old TV shows that nobody cares about or they'd still be on the air, but
yes.
I actually watched this week. I Hulu'd a show, an older sitcom called Davis Rules.
Jonathan Winters.
Which I actually watched when it was on TV, and it was on for like half a season, and then it switched networks, another half a season. It was on like 91, 92, and it kind of got lost in the shuffle, I think. I watched it and I remembered some basics about it, but just rewatched the whole series. It's Jonathan Winters, and you really can't beat that with a stick. But it was him and Randy Quaid before he got really crazy.
Exactly.
Yeah, went insane. And Patricia Clarkson was on for a season.
That is really weird because I do not remember her being on that
show. Right. We didn't really know her back in 91. It's since then that we've gotten to know who she is as an actress. But yeah, I was watching the first episode and all of a sudden like Patricia Clarkson's on the screen. I'm like, no way. And I hadn't realized it was her. The setup is Randy Quaid plays this school principal in this small town like outside Seattle. And his wife has passed away. He has three sons he's raising. So he lives with his dad, who is Jonathan Winters. And who helps him with the kids. And then Patricia Clarkson is a substitute teacher at the school. And she's his love interest for the first season. And then Bonnie Hunt appears a couple episodes as his sister.
Right.
And then the second season, all of a sudden, it switched networks, I think, and, everything changed. And, the oldest son all of a sudden was, a foreign exchange student, and he was off the show. And then Randy Quaid got, a Dear John letter from Patricia Clarkson, whose character's name was Cosmo.
Okay.
But she had joined a nunnery and
so
she was off the show. And then Bonnie Hunt's character was just all of a sudden living there.
As a surrogate mother to the boys,
so,
kind of thing.
Right. Yeah. Which it made sense, but it was one of those things what's happening? And then his friends dump off their kid to stay with him because I guess they just really wanted to place the old teenage child on it.
With a younger kid.
But yeah, and so in the opening credits, there's this, cute teenage boy named Vanni Ribisi.
No!
Yes! Giovanni Ribisi, or Vanni Ribisi at that time.
Wow.
Joined the cast and was on it as this, older than his years, raised by crazy psychologist parents who named him Skinner after B.F. Skinner.
Oh my God.
And had, written books about him. And unfortunately, like I said, there's all these changes in the show, and I think if they had hit the ground running, it would have lasted.
Okay.
Because there's some amazing comedy in it. It's basically, you have a bit of a plot, and then you have Jonathan Winters just freaking ad-libbing like crazy. And you just sit there and watch Randy Quaid and try not to break character and laugh out loud.
Yeah, now Bonnie Hunt can keep pace with Jonathan Winters.
Exactly. It's Bonnie Hunt and Jonathan Winters just riffing off each other. It's brilliant, those parts. I mean, the high notes were through the roof, and the low notes were eh.
Which you have to believe that Robin Williams, when he and Jonathan were on Mork and Mindy together, that's had to be what those scenes were like.
Yeah, exactly. Same kind of thing. So it's well worth watching. If you're a fan of Jonathan Winters, you can just kind of, sit through kind of the low points with the other characters and then just kind of wait for him to throw some crazy crap out there.
Wow. That's awesome. Yeah, I do remember loving that show at the time.
Yeah, so it's available on Hulu Plus now.
Very nice.
Yeah.
From my perspective, I have so many movies here to watch, but I decided to dive into the Margaret Thatcher biopic, The Iron Lady, with Meryl Streep.
Yeah, that's really interesting casting. How did it work?
Extremely well on two fronts.
Okay.
Meryl Streep loses herself in the role again, which she does impeccably well. She and Gary Oldman, I think, are two actors who just dissolve into these characters.
Yeah, there's moments with each of them I'll be flipping through and be like, who the heck is that? And it takes me 10 minutes to figure out it's them.
For as polarizing as Margaret Thatcher was as a historic figure, they did a very unique thing here, is because they start the film with her as a very old, feeble, and failing woman.
Oh.
Therefore,
which is not how we think of her at
no,
all.
No. Yeah. But therefore, humanizing her to the point where you can't help but sympathize. She's having hallucinations of conversations with her dead husband.
Okay.
Of course, there are biopics, like we talked about a week or so ago with My Week with Marilyn, that it's just a straight memoir. You know, it has a beginning and an end, and it's just a very linear story. This uses that convention of flashbacks through memories, but it's done through Margaret's kind of fragmented ailing mind.
Okay.
So it's very rapid fire. There is a linearity to it, but it bounces around a bit. And it's very powerful because the mind, we often think of memories coming and soothing us and comforting us. Well, with all the stuff she's been a part of, there's so much of what she experienced in her life that was negative and very traumatizing that these memories also haunt her and torment her at the same time.
Ooh, okay.
It's fascinating. It really is. And it was directed by the same woman, Flitia Lloyd, who did Mamma Mia.
Oh.
Which, talk about
with Meryl Streep.
With Meryl Streep. But talk about two completely different movies and how lambasted she was for how she adapted that stage play.
Yeah, because I don't like that movie very much.
There
but
were many people who did. But this is a totally different picture. You wouldn't even think it's done by the same people. And it's
wow, that's great.
And they cast a young 23-year-old girl who, and I don't have it in my notes with her. I want to say it's like Alexandra Rochant or something like that. I'd have to go back and look it up. Who plays a young Margaret Thatcher and a young Meryl Streep. And the physical similarities are impeccable.
Oh, good.
And the performances. And it's extremely well cast. And
okay. So she kind of can hold her own playing a younger Meryl Streep?
Yes.
Good. Phew.
And there's a lot of BBC actors that you will recognize. A couple of people from Torchwood and Doctor Who. Yeah, from Children of Earth especially. The Prime Minister from Children of Earth plays one of Margaret Thatcher's earliest political allies. So you get to see her as a young girl. You get to see her as the first woman in 1959 to kind of infiltrate this male-dominated parliament, this madhouse.
Oh, yeah, she really broke boundaries.
Oh, my God. And, and the toll it took on her family, of course, and her husband and her twin children. And
yeah, see, I don't even think of her as, like, having a husband or kids or...
Nobody does. So you get to see a side of Margaret Thatcher that we didn't even know. But
if
from a biopic perspective, from a historical perspective, I know there's going to be a lot of people who don't want to see it just because of how they feel about Margaret Thatcher.
Mm-hmm.
But from a cinematic movie-making standpoint, it really is a compelling picture. Very well.
Good. Good. Yeah. Another one to put on my list to see.
Yep. Let's see what else has been going on at the box office this past week.
Oh, can you just rerun what we talked about last week?
Oh, really?
Basically.
Okay. Yeah, there wasn't much new coming out.
Twilight Saga Breaking Dawn Part 1.
Okay.
It's number one for, 3 weeks in a row now?
Yeah.
So it's grossed almost $250 million total.
Okay. Just domestically, I think it was over half a billion
just
worldwide.
Just
the U.S. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, that was, and then you basically got a whole bunch of kids' movies. It kind of looks the same as it has for the past few weeks.
Okay.
And kind of slow box office this past weekend, too.
Yeah, and again, we're sliding into the holidays, so there is some big stuff coming, like Sherlock Holmes. But this next week, we get a couple limited releases. And they do this just so that they get their theatrical time needed for the award ceremonies.
Mm-hmm.
So Madonna's film W.E. Is opening in New York and Los Angeles. That arrived. I got that here at home the other day. And Young Adult, which is the Diablo Cody, Jason Reitman picture with Charlize Theron. That's opening unlimited. And then two other more mainstream, Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, which is Gary Oldman, the adaptation of the old Alec Guinness BBC miniseries, which has gotten a lot of positive. That's nationwide. And Gary Marshall's New Year's Eve, which I think we've talked about before.
Yeah, we've mentioned. It's similar to Valentine's Day, the one he did. It's not the same characters.
Although there are a couple of the same characters.
It's a lot of... Is it the same characters? Some of the same actors.
Ashton Kutcher's character is still in it from the last film.
Okay, because it's a bunch of the same actors.
Okay. But if I remember correctly, his character is the only one that carries over.
Okay. Yeah. But it's some of those playing different characters, and so it's going to be all confusing, but it's not like it's really heavy, you know,
romantic comedy, right?
Yeah, it's romantic comedy. It's a whole bunch of different characters, different couples, takes place on New Year's Eve. It's going to be light and fun.
In New York City, correct?
Yeah. This one's in New York City. Last one, Valentine's Day, was in LA. Just a whole bunch of famous people, you know, making googly eyes at each other.
You get to see Zac Efron romance Michelle Pfeiffer.
Yeah.
It's interesting because they played in Hairspray together.
They did. You're right. I forgot about that. Yeah. So huge names that are like Robert De Niro's in it. Halle Berry's in it. You know, Jessica Biel's in it again.
So if anything, that has a chance of toppling Twilight this coming week.
Yeah, I think it does. And especially for kind of maybe older people. And
yeah, because the last one had that interesting. I think it was Hector Elizondo and Shirley MacLaine.
Yeah, playing Julia Roberts' parents.
Okay.
So, but Hector's in all of Gary Marshall's movies.
Is he really?
Yeah, they're like best friends. He's in every single one of them. He was, you know, obviously in Pretty Woman and, gosh, tons of his stuff. So yeah, he's in all of his movies.
So he is Gary's Greg Grunberg.
Exactly.
Good luck, charm.
It'll be a fun one to watch. I'm looking forward to it. Not like, oh my gosh, this is going to be great. But like, yeah, cool, fun.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Well, if there's nothing at the theaters that you want to see, we can look over and see what's coming to DVD and Blu-ray this week.
Yeah, and if you look really quick at upcoming DVD releases for the week of December 6th over on DVDverdict.com, first thing I noticed jumps out at me. It's kind of early, isn't it? But there's like a million workout DVDs coming out.
Yes.
Deepak Chopra has stuff. I mean, he's not doing like the yoga. He has somebody else, but he's putting his name on the DVDs.
I think he has meditation at the end of the yoga workout. That's why he's associated with it.
So, but just looking at that, there's a couple of Biggest Losers workouts, which I've reviewed a couple of them, and they're pretty decent workouts. And it's really nice because they have contestants from the show like in the background doing it.
Oh.
And so it's kind of inspirational to see that. The other workout is Bethany's Skinny Girl workout.
Oh, you reviewed?
I did review that. It used to be only at Target. It was available, and it's going to be available everywhere, including like on Amazon.
Okay.
It's a yoga-ish workout. It's Bethany Frankel from Real Housewives of New York. But then she had her own show and stuff. And she's like, to me, the one I can stand out of all of them.
Okay.
And if you're a fan of hers, it's a decent workout, but it's her front and center being her and saying crazy things and her dogs walking across the set and stuff like that. So if you're a fan of Bethany, it's a good workout and, you know, you can hang out with her for, you know, an hour while you're doing some pretty tough yoga.
All right.
If you're not a fan of Bethany's, you're not going to want to check this one out because she can be a little overwhelming.
Yeah, makes sense. Some big box office mainstream releases, The Help, which got all sorts of acclaim this past summer and will again in awards season because of Viola Davis and Bryce Dallas Howard and Jessica Chastain, all amazing Octavia Spencer, some really truly worthwhile performances that make this story. The Hangover Part 2, which was basically The Hangover Part 1 done in Taiwan.
Yeah.
Pretty much the same movie, just
pretty much.
Place. If you like comedy, if you like, you know, Zach Galifianakis and Ed Helms, you'll find a lot to laugh at.
Yeah, it's got a good cast and a funny cast.
Yeah. Cowboys and Aliens, which is John Favreau's sci-fi western, which, I don't know, it was one of those love it or hate it movies over the summer. Some people said it was great, other people said it was stupid.
Yeah, I can see both of those. Another big one for the younger generation coming out, Mr. Popper's Penguins with Jim Carrey.
Was that based on a book?
It is. It's based on a young adult, like elementary school kind of book.
Okay. Not like a Harold and the Purple Crayon kind of book.
No.
Okay.
No, definitely like a chapter book, but for younger readers. It's coming out, and you can even buy, if you want to, there's a gift set with a stuffed penguin. So
yes, just what you need for your Christmas gift giving.
There you go.
Mystery Science Theater Volume 22, which Eric Osperschlager, who reviewed for us, said it is the best release from Shout Factory so far.
Yeah, that's great.
Well, there's a Hitchcock Criterion. The Lady Vanishes, one of his early pictures, gets the Criterion.
Nice.
Oh, and we talked about this last week from you, but the Dragon Tattoo Trilogy, the extended edition, comes out in both DVD and Blu-ray this week.
Yeah, yeah, which is, it was actually shown on Swedish TV as a miniseries. You know, I said watch 2 and 3 together.
Yeah.
They put all three as a miniseries.
Wow.
And that's what this is.
Huh.
So it's still, you can kind of break it up if you want, and it's extended. So these are like 2.5 hour movies, and they added like a half an hour to them.
Wow. So it's like 9 hours of television?
Yeah, it's even deeper into the characters and stuff. My guess is this is the way to watch it. And you can still kind of break it up if you want. You know, you don't have to sit and watch it for, you know, 24 hours straight kind of thing. So this is actually on my Christmas list for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to see extended and see what they add in.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, so a bunch of different things this week coming out.
One last we both know the death of Elizabeth Sladen earlier this year, who was on Doctor Who, played Sarah Jane through several Doctors, passed away from a battle with cancer. But her last season of the Sarah Jane Adventures on the BBC is coming to TV as season 4. So to celebrate her life and her career. There you go.
Yeah, she's probably, you know, besides the Doctor himself, I think the favorite character overall. And like you said, they even brought her back more recently for
with David Tennant
for, you know, an episode, a full episode, and a little cameo at the end of his run and stuff, which was really touching and meaningful. And then especially since she passed away soon after. So and that the Sarah Jane Adventures is geared towards a younger audience too.
Right.
But I'm something, you know, anyone of any age could love and get into.
Staying on the movie front, let's come over to the streaming side. On Netflix this week, we've got some Jerry Lewis classics. Nutty Professor, Geisha Boy, Bellboy, kind of his 60s, where he was at the height of his cinematic career. If you're into British comedy, Fawlty Towers, Waiting for God.
Which I know you like. A couple of my favorites.
Yeah. Gavin and Stacey.
That's more modern, but good, solid British show.
In the Simon Pegg series, Spaced.
All right.
Classic television with Dick Van Dyke Show. And then two Christmas specials from the Jim Henson Company. Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas, which is a favorite of mine and an annual tradition in my house.
Yeah, that's a great one. It's a less seen one, but check it out, people. It's well worth watching.
Very touching.
It's up there with, you know, a lot of the Rankin and Bass kind of stuff, I think, as far as touching and funny. And
I agree. Good music.
Not the whole package.
Yeah.
Well worth watching.
Yeah. And another one that not many people remember, it's called The Christmas Toy, which some people accuse John Lasseter of taking the story and using it for Toy Story. But it has that similar feel of a new toy that's brought into a house and the other toys who kind of rally around this new toy. So,
All right.
Late 80s, early 90s, I believe, for that one.
Okay.
What about, you're the Hulu girl, what do you got?
Yeah, well, the big news in streaming, Hulu picked up the rights to Community. We had talked about Community kind of maybe being on its way out, but Hulu has it. It has the first two seasons and then the current season.
Okay.
You can watch it all on there, on Hulu Plus. So, yeah, that was kind of big news.
So if you want to save the show, everybody go over and get those streaming numbers up.
Yeah, and I'm actually rewatching. So I had rewatched the first season on DVD. And so since it's on streaming, I'm going through some of last season. And, man, it doesn't get old. It's just funny the, you know, nth time you've watched it. It's some of the smartest, funniest stuff. Yeah, so if you haven't checked out Community, yeah, go check it out on Hulu. And then, you know, write letters to NBC yelling at them.
Yeah.
Bring it back.
I think it really hit its stride in that second season where it started to get to be the quirky show that it is now.
Yeah.
And I know McIntyre has been talking about that too because he's been going through from start to finish to watch it.
But yeah, from the first episode, there like has not been a clunker in the bunch.
Yeah.
Not one that hasn't been excellent. So.
Speaks volumes.
So too. Yep. All right. So let's move to real TV.
Okay.
And now that it's December, ABC Family does their big 25 Days of Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
It shows Christmas stuff all the time. So, okay, I'm going to warp speed go through their rundown for you.
Go for it.
Monday, Rudolph, Shiny New Year, and Island of Misfit Toys.
Okay.
And then The Polar Express, the movie.
I still haven't seen that movie.
Mickey's Christmas Carol.
Okay.
And then Tuesday is Twas the Night Before Christmas.
Which I guess review it on Blu-ray.
And then The Polar Express again. They do a lot of repeating stuff too. Okay. But and then Home Alone 2. And then Wednesday is A Very Pink Christmas, which is a Pink Panther special.
Okay.
And then Home Alone 2 again. And then what I think is new this year for them is National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Ooh, nice.
So, and I'm sure they'll be doing that more throughout the rest of the month too. But, and then Thursday is Jack Frost, Frosty's Winter Wonderland, Cranberry Christmas, Santa Claus is Coming to Town, and The Year Without Santa Claus.
It's Rankin-Bass-Palooza.
Yeah. And then Friday again is Year Without a Santa Claus, Santa Claus is Coming to Town, and then the movie The Santa Claus. And then
Dustin Hoffman? No.
No, the Santa Claus is Tim Allen.
Oh, the Tim Allen one. Okay.
The Tim Allen one.
The other one I'm thinking of is Santa Claus the movie.
There's so many plays on the words and whatever. Yeah, this is Claus with an E.
Okay.
And then Saturday and Sunday, they're doing Christmas movies all day long. And then on regular networks, Monday, ABC has Charlie Brown. And then Prep and Landing, Naughty versus Nice.
Ooh, this is the new one.
The new one. And then Tuesday, NBC has a Michael Bublé Christmas. Maybe for us older folks, where he'll be doing some music off his Christmas CD. Friday, CBS has Frosty, Yes, Virginia, and The Elf on a Shelf, which is new, based off a book, which is based off a tradition, or vice versa.
Niece has been talking up like crazy. She can't wait for this.
Yeah, it's become big again. I think it was big years ago. But The Elf on the Shelf, it's every day, like the elf appears somewhere new. You get a little toy elf, and it appears somewhere new in the house.
But he's a spy for Santa.
Ah, so tells if it's good or bad. But anyhow, that's a new special, so you can check that out Friday on CBS. And then Saturday, CBS has Rudolph and Flight Before Christmas. And there actually is one thing on TV this week that's not Christmassy. And Monday, Fox has the American Country Awards, which is... Now, this is a newer one. It's, you know, award season, and they have to make up new ones all the time. This is like... It's only been around a couple of years, but... It's a new country music award show. So if you're into that, Monday on Fox.
Okay.
Oh, and there's the TV rundown. And let's see, the rest of the entertainment for us smart people who like to read.
there's it's a dwindling group out there.
We're going to keep it alive in this podcast.
All right.
So just a few that kind of caught my eye. Patricia Cornwell.
Yes.
Who's a really famous author. She writes Kay Scarpetta, like a series of things. And Patricia Cornwell used to be a medical examiner, coroner, and then she turned to writing about that.
Oh, okay.
So she writes mysteries. So Red Mist, the 19th in her series of books, is coming out this week. And then for the younger generation, Pretty Little Liars, which is also a TV show, but was originally a series of books about literally pretty little liars, high school girls, whatever.
Yeah.
Anyhow, the 10th one in that, Ruthless, is coming
10th?
Out this week. Yep, 10th
Jeez.
Book in that. And something I thought sounded really interesting, and I may eventually pick up or throw on my Christmas list. Richard Branson, from Virgin Airlines and Virgin Megastore, and you know, one of the richest guys in the world. He has a new book coming out, and the title is called "Screw Business as Usual." It's his theories on business and how doing the right thing can still be profitable.
Interesting.
So, especially, you know, in these days and times with the 99% mad at the 1% who does business, you know, could be an interesting read.
Huh.
So, and then, again, let's just show off how intellectual and cultured we are.
Okay.
Oh, another one that's coming out, it's called Hatbox, and it's the collected lyrics of Stephen Sondheim.
Ooh.
Who wrote West Side Story, Sweeney Todd, Into the Woods, a lot of big Broadway musicals.
Uh-huh.
It's lyrics, and then it's kind of, I think, shorter, almost essays and information and stuff about him. So that could be really interesting.
Interesting.
So, again, a little bit for everyone. Kind of. And then we'll switch really quick to music,
okay?
Too, which I have a variety of things that kind of caught my eye. Glee 7, the 7th CD from the show, is coming out.
But, you know, the music this season has not been as memorable as in previous seasons.
It kind of depends what you're... kind of music you're into, I guess. Yeah, they've done a little bit more modern stuff, a little bit less of the kind of classic rocky or...
Mark Salling's interpretation of Van Halen's Hot for Teacher was excellent.
Yeah, but you had to watch that one.
That's true.
As good on CD as it was watching it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was a fun one. Another one that caught my eye, and I'm going to say it loud and proud. I don't care.
Here we go.
Very Best of Neil Diamond. It's a new best of. It's 23 songs, and a bunch of them are remastered, and it's got all the classics and everything.
He's probably still touring, too. Or does he have a theater in Branson now?
No, he does not.
Okay.
Shut up. Don't rip on Neil Diamond. Anyhow, and another one that I'm sure a lot of people are going to be interested in, Amy Winehouse actually has a new album. It's Lioness, Hidden Treasures. It's a bunch of unreleased stuff that they found.
All right.
Or had. Someone had it. And some alternate versions that haven't been released.
That's a very sad story.
So, yeah. But for big fans of hers, you know, another one. And hopefully, though, they won't turn this into, like, Tupac when she releases Dead Than Alive. But anyhow, so a last bit of Amy Winehouse for fans of hers.
Well, and let's, you know, as we switch to entertainment news, let's kind of stick on this sad note, because I know you were talking about...
Okay, yeah, we'll start with the sad, and then we'll end with the stupid. Patrice O'Neill passed away last week. He was a stand-up comedian, plus he's been in guest starred in TV shows and done a few movies and stuff. He had a stroke a few weeks ago, and yeah, ended up passing away from the results of that. It's very sad. He was in his 40s. People know him from different things. What I know him from first was a whole bunch of stuff on VH1, all the I Love the 70s, 80s, 90s toys, my mother, whatever
he
was.
And Lonnie Love and...
Yeah, like Frangelica did that. Michael Ian Black.
Was Paul F. Tompkins on there too?
He did Best Week Ever.
Oh,
Paul
okay.
F. Tompkins
all right.
did that. But Patrice O'Neill, that's where I first know him from.
Gotcha.
So very smart, very funny guy. So very sad. He had a... One of the most recent things he did was the Charlie Sheen roast for Comedy Central.
Oh, right.
But he's also done a special for Comedy Central called Elephant in the Room.
Okay.
And they've been rerunning that. So if you want to get a bit of what he was like, you can catch that on Comedy Central.
To lose people this young and this talented, it's really heartbreaking.
Yeah, it is. And then we have people like the other big news that just happened. We have Brooke Mueller, Charlie Sheen's ex, who just got arrested again for drugs.
Now, wait a minute. Wasn't she... under the care of Dr. Drew on Celebrity Rehab and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah. So Charlie was not involved in this one for once, just her on her own. But she was in Aspen at a club out of her mind and got arrested. I'm sure this won't be the last time I'll be repeating these words.
Yeah. Well, here, let me flip it around and give you a positive entertainment news story.
Oh, no way. There is one?
In that Brad Pitt saved a man's life this week.
No way.
It was
Tom Cruise used to do that all the time, remember?
Yeah, but Brad didn't know that he saved the man's life. This is the thing.
Really?
So there was an industry screening of Moneyball, because it's award season, and they have all these screenings with Q&A with, you know, the talent and the casting crew afterwards. So Brad and Jonah Hill were doing a Q&A, and there was a guy in the audience, and one of the first questions asked, he got up and said, I was out in the parking lot before the movie, and I was going to commit suicide. And he said, I decided to come in and see it, and now it's completely changed my mind, because I can tell, this is an Aaron Sorkin script, right, so that I can tell that life has potential, that I can pretty much do anything I want, that I'm not, you know.
Really?
Yeah. So Brad sat and talked with this guy both during the Q&A and afterwards. And,
well, good for...
So there you go.
Cynical part of me totally wants to call bullshit on that. Seriously, so now he gets a one-on-one hanging out with Brad Pitt.
Maybe.
I don't know. Okay, let's not. No, really, that's wonderful. Brad Pitt saved someone's life.
There
that's a great story.
There you go.
All right. Well, should we do one quick last news story?
Well, I have another one, too, so.
Oh, go ahead, then, and I'll finish up with the stupid one we have to do every week, it seems.
Right. I actually have two. I'm trying to decide which one I want to do. The Jaws ride at Universal Studios Orlando is closing.
Oh, no, shut up.
As of January 2nd,
I decided they were going to reallocate
that space to some other exciting new attraction. So they're closing that. Of course, the mini little Jaws ride-through that you get at Universal Studios Hollywood is still here. But that's basically okay. on the tram ride, and it's just
right, that's part
30
of the
seconds.
Big thing.
You know, it's not the whole yeah. attraction. But
that is sad news, too.
Mourning the death of Robot Jaws.
Aw.
Yeah.
Well, okay, since we have to talk about them every single week, obviously. Jealous of Rob for dancing and Kim for getting divorced. Kourtney Kardashian went and got herself knocked up again by her crazy alcoholic violent boyfriend.
We go 1 week without talking about the Kardashians?
No, obviously not. So there, I talked about it because that's obviously like a new law. You have to talk about it or something. So there, I talked about it and we're done.
Ugh. Okay. Is that it?
That's all I want to talk about.
Okay, so we're good for the week.
I'm done. I talked about Kardashians. Nothing else left after that. Get it.
All right. Well, Christmas is rapidly approaching. So if you want to, if you love Verdict and love the stuff that we do, feel free to do some shopping at Amazon.com and go through our link on any one of our review pages or on the homepage. We would appreciate it.
Yeah, very much so.
And other than that, you can send Melissa and I feedback by our email is mstaley@dvdverdict.com and
mhansen @dvdverdict.com.
Or you can call the voicemail hotline, which we haven't talked about that, but it's 310-878-4968.
And that rings at Michael's place, so call really late at night. And repeatedly. All right. Well, you know what? No one sent me feedback this week, and no one sent me ideas for a sign-off line. So I said I was going to do it, and I'm totally doing it. Stealing from Jerry Springer this week. So if you want me to have to keep stealing, send me ideas, people. But otherwise, until next time, take care of yourselves and each other.